Hillary won the race at Elijah Davis, Mitchell, the 12th hour. Cross started side of the train and turned to issue on south of 12th hour in Libertyville, Texas. Today is January 16th, 2018. Or it is CBET 30, 2021. We will start our first service today for the song entitled More About Yahshua I Would Know. More about Yahshua I would know, more of His grace to others show, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. More about Yahshua, more about Yahshua, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. More about Yahshua let me learn, more than how He will descend. Spirit of Yah, my teacher be, showing the things of Yahshua to me. More about Yahshua, more about Yahshua, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. More about Yahshua and His word, holding communion with my King, hearing His voice in every line, making each faithful saying mine. More about Yahshua, more about Yahshua, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. More about Yahshua on His throne, His riches and glory all His own, more of His kingdom sure increase, more of His coming Prince of Peace. More about Yahshua, more about Yahshua, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. Okay, Holy One of Israel, part 21. We're going to continue now. We're in Jeremiah chapter 3. They say if a man put away his wife and she go from him and become another man, shall he return unto her again? Shall not that land be greatly polluted? But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers, yet return again to me, saith Yahshua. Lift up thine eyes unto the hills. No, lift up thine eyes. But first, let's go to Deuteronomy 24:1-4. Let's go to Deuteronomy 24:1-4. It says, when a man hath taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes, because he hath found some unkindness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement, and give it in her hand, and send her out of his house. And when she is departed out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife. And if the latter husband hate her, and write her a bill of divorcement, and give it in her hand, and send her out of his house, or if the latter husband die, which took her to be his wife, the former husband which sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife after that she is defiled. For that is an abomination before the Yahshua, and thou shalt not cause the land of sin, which the Yahweh thy Elohim giveth thee for an inheritance. Let us now go back to Jeremiah chapter 3. Let's read verse 2. Lift up thine eyes unto the high places, and see where thou hast not been lain with, in the ways as thou sat for them as the Arabian in the wilderness. And thou hast plowed the land with thy whoredoms and with thy wickedness. Therefore the showers have been withholden, and there hath been no latter rain, and thou hast a whore's forehead. Thou refusest to be ashamed. Wilt thou not from this time cry unto me, my father? Thou art the God of my youth. Will he reserve his anger forever? Will he keep it to the end? Behold, thou hast spoken and done evil the things as thou couldest. Okay, it says, Yahshua said also unto me in the days of Josiah, the king. Alright, let's see. I guess we ought to go read Jeremiah 6:15 and Jeremiah 31:9. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall at the time that I visit them. They shall be cast down, saith the Yahshua. Now, Jeremiah 31:9, it says, they shall come with weeping and with supplication, but I lead them, I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble, for I am a father unto Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 3 now. And let's read verse 6. The Yahshua said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She has gone up on every high mountain and under every green tree, and there has played the harlot. Then I said, after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me, but she returned not. And her treacherous sister Judah saw it. Now here's Judah, the house of David, the lawgiver. This is the one that Yahshua is the belongs to. He comes through Judah. He comes through the lineage of David. And yet, his tribe also apostatized. All right, let's go to Ezekiel 23:4-10. It says that, and the names of them were Aholah, the elder, and Aholabah, her sister. And they were mine, and they bare sons and daughters. Thus were their names: Samaria is Aholah, and Jerusalem is Aholabah. And it says in verse 5, and Aholah played the harlot when she was mine. And she doted on the lovers, on the Assyrians, her neighbors, which were clothed with blue, captains and rulers, all of them desirable young men, horsemen riding upon horses. Thus she committed her whoredoms with them, with all them that were the chosen men of Assyria, and with all on whom she doted. With all their idols, she defiled herself. neither left she her whoredom brought from Egypt. For in her youth they lay with her, and they bruised the breast of her virginity and poured her whoredoms upon her. Okay. Go back to Jeremiah 3 and read verse 6 again. Yahshua said also unto me, in the days of Josiah king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? This is talking about the 10 tribes. She has gone upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. Okay, verse 7. And I said later, after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me, but she returned not, and her treacherous sister Judah saw it. See, Judah's the two tribes, Judah and Benjamin. The sister of Aholah. Verse 8. And I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. Ezekiel 16:46-47 lends to that. It says, and thine elder sister is Samaria. That's where your 10 tribes are at. Aholah. And her daughters that dwell at thy left side, and a younger sister that dwelleth at thy right side is Sodom and her daughters. And now that's Judah. That's Aholah Baal. That's the tribe that Yahshua came from. So Sodom don't belong to the 10 tribes. It belongs to the 3 tribes, Judah and Benjamin. And that's who Gilead Center represents, the 3 tribes. And that's who Benjamin Roden, with the shepherd rod, represented. Judah, the 2 tribes, they represented Sodom. Okay. In other words, spiritually speaking, Sodom means man seducing man. Man lying to his fellow man. That's what it simply means. Teaching false doctrine. Destroying his soul. That's man seducing man. Okay. That, it says in Ezekiel 16:47, yet hast thou not walked after their way? They say, yet hast thou not walked after their way, nor done after their abomination? But as if that were a very little thing, thou wast corrupted more than they in all thy ways. So Judah, the 3 tribes, Gilead Center, we were more corrupted down there in all our ways than the 10 tribes representing the Seventh Day Adventist Church was in all their ways. So Judah started in 1930 with the shepherd rod, beat the harlot for as long as he was alive. He was a true prophet, and he led them in the right way. He was leading them in the right way. But when he died, the sheep scattered, and the wolf took over as the leader of the flock. And that was Ben Roden, 1960 more or less, took full control of the flock. What flock he had that stayed with him after B.T. Hollis died. And he was a wolf in sheep's clothing. Well, and lo and behold, Brother Johnson was too. He was a wolf in sheep's clothing. Mm-hmm. Didn't have no intention of becoming righteous. That's the reason why we're doing this Holy One of Israel. I got some breaking news for you all, Jeff White, y'all in Africa. This is just the beginning. This Holy One of Israel, y'all was showing me that those that are preordained for salvation from the foundation of the world, he raises them up at a new appointed time, and he treats them just like he treated Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1. And I'm going to show this to you right now. It says in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 1, it says, the word of Jeremiah the son of Hilkiah of the priest that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, unto whom the word of Yahweh came in the days of Josiah the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. Okay. Now he says that Jeremiah, he says, verse 4, then the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. He said, before you were even conceived, Jeremiah, I knew you. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and ordained thee a prophet unto the nation. Now, I have some breaking news here, and that everyone that fulfills a prophetic office and is called to a prophetic office fits in the same mold as Jeremiah. Before you're even formed in the womb, before you're even conceived, he knew you. And he sanctified you before thou camest forth out of the womb. I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Now, do you know why these prophets were successful? That's why all prophets have been successful. Now, David, he was anointed. He's built the same mold. But he sinned after he got to be king. Great sin. He had to pay for his sin. He had to repent of it. And Yahshua says, or Yahweh says, I have removed your iniquity from you. But your sins that you've committed will go to the third and fourth generation. Nevertheless, I have removed your iniquity from you and preserved you and ordained you to fulfill my will, what I raised you up originally for. Okay? So now when you go to Isaiah 45, you read about this heathen king Cyrus that Yahweh raised up in his day. We're going to go read again. And he raised him up again in our day. Already raised him up. And if Yahweh don't do a special work preordaining these people to fill these special positions, then there is no hope for the world ever to be delivered. Because all these people that he preordains are deliverers. They are deliverers. Now he has to personally predestine them, sanctify them while they're still in the womb, before they come forth. And then he has to ordain them after they come forth to do the work that he predestined them for. And as strictly for deliverers. These are all deliverers. So in Isaiah 45, he says, let's go read about it in 44:28 about Cyrus. He said, verse 27, thou saith unto the deep, be dry, and I will draw up thy rivers. Thou saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasures. Well, why couldn't he raise up somebody from Israel to do this? Why couldn't he preordain somebody from Israel to do this? Because all Israel were backsliders. So he says that the Cyrus guy, Thus saith the South, He is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasures. Even saying to Jerusalem, Thou shalt be built, and to the temple, thy foundation shall be laid. Ezra 1:1-2. Okay. So we go to Ezra 1:1-2, and let's go read a little bit more about this information here. Ezra 1:1-2. It says, Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, and we just come through that first year of Cyrus in 2017, on the top of it, with Donald Trump, antitypical Cyrus, and the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of Yeshua by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. Yeshua stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia. That's who Donald Trump is. He was the king of Persia. Okay. So now, when he overthrows Babylon, then he becomes the king of Babylon. And he's already overthrown Babylon, but he first came as the king of Persia. And he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, This says Cyrus, king of Persia, the Yeshua, Messiah of the heaven, hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Okay. So now this is what Donald Trump's in the process of doing. They're wanting to build this house over in Jerusalem. They've got that Jews, the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees. They've got it in their mind that they're going to build this house. But they got to take charge of the Temple Mount first before they can build this house. And the Muslims have got charge of the Temple Mount. So there ain't no way that those Jews over there are going to build that third temple as long as they got that conflict with the Jew, with the Arabs. But when Donald Trump goes over there and he puts our embassy over there in Jerusalem, finishes that little job, and whenever he gives a signal, it's time to drive them Palestinians out and take back over the Temple Mount, and you're going to have Zechariah 14. That third temple is not going to be built upon that Temple Mount. It's not going to be built there. Because Ezekiel 48 prophecy won't allow for it. That new temple is going to be built adjacent to the old Jerusalem, the old temple, according to Ezekiel 48. So that's the reason why the Bible says you have also a more sure word of prophecy to the world, to take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arises in your heart. 2 Peter 1:19-20. So I'm going to go ahead and read to you this Ezra chapter 1 and show you where all Donald Trump's going to, what's he going to do over there. It's going to take antitypical Cyrus to do, to prepare the way for the 144,000 to go back to the land. Okay, now here's what he's going to do. Ezra 1. Verse 3. Who is there among you of all his people, as Yahweh be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Yeshua Messiah of the Israel. He is the king of Israel, which is in Jerusalem. Now, I want to show you something else. Now, this is Ezra back in the Old Testament talking about Yeshua the Messiah. He's the king of Israel. That's in Jerusalem. Did you know who Melchizedek was? He was a high priest. He was a type of Yahshua. Or was he Yahshua himself? He said, without father, without mother, without beginning, without ending. Okay, that sounds like Yahshua the Messiah. Ellen G. White, in his Desire of Ages, says that Melchizedek was Yahshua. Okay, let's just take that for what it's worth right now and realize that Melchizedek was called the King of Salem. And when David got there and took over and run them Jebusites off of that mountain of Salem, he added Yahweh's name to it. And then what do you have then? You have Jerusalem, not just Salem by itself. You have Jerusalem. So it says that Melchizedek was a high priest. Abraham paid tithe and Melchizedek. And so he was the king of Jerusalem, Melchizedek was. Alright. So every king that has reigned on the throne in Jerusalem of Judah sit in the seat of Yahshua, the king of Israel. That's the reason why the Old Testament refers to him as the king of Israel. I have to do a little changing of words here in order to come to that conclusion. In other words, I have to take the word God with the upper and lower case, and they're referring to Yahshua, the translators are. I take that and I put king in the place of it. Okay, which is a true interpretation. So when I read Ezra chapter 1 verse 3 again, I'll show it to you. Who is there among you of all his people? His Yahweh be with him. Okay. And let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah. This is Cyrus commanding. And build a house of the Yahshua Messiah of Israel. For he is, I add the preposition for he is the God. Is he the God? Pagan name? No. What is he? He's the king of Israel. So, Yahshua Messiah of Israel, he is the king of Israel, which is in Jerusalem. Now, we might get a little more confirmation on that by 2 Chronicles 36:23. It says, this says Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth has Yahshua Messiah of heaven given me, and he has charged me to build him an house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? Yahshua be his Elohim. Yahshua his Elohim be with him, and let him go up. In other words, Yahshua his God or his father, or Yahshua his king be with him and let him go up. And we might get a little more confirmation on Jeremiah 25:11-14. And this whole land shall be a desolation and astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Okay. Now these 70 years have just finished. 2017, they're already over with. Well, actually, then, technically, they're not over with until the first, beginning of the first of 2018 biblically, and that'd be March, sometime in March. You see, and it shall come, verse 12, and it shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon. Okay. And who's the king of Babylon? Who was the king of Babylon? Obama. He was Belshazzar, antithetical Belshazzar, the king of Babylon. And that nation, he is going to punish Babylon. In other words, he's published in Washington, D.C. That's the reason why Washington, D.C. has never been called a state. It's never been annexed into the conglomeration of the 50 states to be one of the states, because it's the headquarters for Babylon. And Babylon is a nation all by itself. That's the reason why they say Washington, D.C. is an independent nation all by itself. It can never become a state. It rules over the 50 several states of the United States. So, he said, I will punish the king of Babylon, Obama, and that nation. I'm going to punish that nation. Saith to Yahshua, for their iniquity and the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it perpetual desolation. Okay. So, what's he talking about here? It talks about Washington, D.C. He's going to drive out all of those swamp rats down there. And the, out of there, he's going to drive out every one of them. But before he does, he's going to take away all their gold and silver and their riches that they've compiled and brought in there. And Donald Trump's in the process of doing that right now. Everything Donald Trump touches turns to gold. He's the gold man. He bought that old post office building there. It covered a whole square block there in Washington, D.C., just a few blocks from, a couple miles from the White House, right down the street. He renovated it. And it takes several years before anything like that ever turns a profit. Why, he turned a profit in his first 3 months. And instead of taking and having to lose a couple million dollars a year, he made $1.6 million profit in his first year. And he raised prices so high for the rich people to use it, and they were gladly accommodated. They brought their riches in there, and boy, they blessed him and paid back his debt for the first year that he owed for the first year, and plus they gave him $1.6 million profit. He's going to take the riches, and he's going to end up owning Washington, D.C., and driving out the swampers, the swamp dwellers, all the evilness out of there. And it says in Jeremiah 25:13, and I will bring upon that land all my words which I have pronounced against it, even all that is written in this book, which Jeremiah has prophesied against all the nations. He's going to bring upon Babylon, that land. For many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of them also, and I will recompense them according to their deeds and according to the works of their own hand. For thus saith Yahshua Messiah of Israel unto me, take the wine cup of his fury at my hand, and cause all the nations unto whom I send thee to drink it. And they shall drink and be moved and be mad because of the sword that I will send among them. Then took I the cup at the Yahshua's hand and made all the nations to drink unto whom the Yahshua has sent me. To wit, Jerusalem and the cities of Judah, and the kings thereof and the princes thereof, to make them a desolation and astonishment and hissing and a curse as it is this day. Now if he will make his own people and their nation to be a desolate and astonishment and drive them all out, he drove them all out of the borders because of their apostasy, what you think he can't do that to Babylon? I hope he can, and he is going to do it. Okay. So now let's go back to Ezra, chapter 1. And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver and with gold, and with goods and with beasts, beside the freewill offering for the house of Yahweh that is in Jerusalem. Oh my goodness. So all those that want to remain hanging around there, they're going to have to help out with their silver and gold. Then rose up the chief of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and the Levites, and with all them whose spirit Yahweh had raised to go up to build the house of Yeshua, which is in Jerusalem. And all they that were about them strengthened their hands with vessels of silver, with gold, with goods, and with beasts, and with precious things, besides all that were willingly offered. Nehemiah 6:9 goes along with that. Well, let's read Nehemiah 6, verse 8 and 9. Then I sent unto him, saying, there are no such things done as I said, that thou faintest them out of thine own heart, for they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work that it be not done. Now therefore, O Yahweh, strengthen my hand. Okay. Now we go back to Ezra, chapter 1, verse 7. And also Cyrus the king brought forth the vessels of the house of the Yahshua, which Nebuchadnezzar had brought forth out of Jerusalem, and had put them in the house of his God. Even those did Cyrus, king of Persia, bring forth by the hand of Mithridat, the treasurer, and numbered them under Sheshbazzar, the prince of Judah. And this is the number of them, 30 charges of gold and 1,000 charges of silver. Now that's all I'm going to read of that. Now I'm going to go to back to Isaiah 45, and I'm going to pick up verse 1. It says that, thus saith Yahshua unto his anointed, unto Cyrus, whose right hand... Now let's read verse 28 again of Isaiah 44. Thus saith Cyrus, let's read verse 27. That saith unto the deep, be dry, and I will not, and I will drop thy rivers. That saith unto Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying unto your vision, thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid. Okay. Now, it says in 45, verse 1. Thus saith Yahshua unto his anointed, unto Cyrus. This is, now he's anointed. David was anointed. So when you're anointed of the Yahshua, when he anoints you, he's the high priest. And he's really the one that's the only one that can anoint you. That's the way it was in the tithe. Moses and Aaron, these high priests, Yahshua anointed Moses, and Moses anointed Aaron. Okay. Whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass, and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness, and hidden riches of secret places. Boy, Donald Trump's going to get it all. that thou mayest know that I, the Asher, which called thee by thy name, am the Elohim of the King of Israel. So, Isaiah 43:1 gives a little bit of insight on that as well. But now thus saith Yahshua that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am Yahshua, thy King, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Syria for thee. Okay, let's go back now to Isaiah 45. Verse 4, for Jacob my servant's sake, and so Jacob, see, that's the house of David, Judah, my servant's sake, and Israel, the 10 tribes, mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name, I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me, I surnamed you, Donald Trump, even though you haven't known me, and Donald Trump's name is in the scriptures. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. This is clear as anything you want to see. I am the Yahshua, and there is none else. There is no king beside me. This says no God here, but you know what? Yahshua sits beside the Father once in a while. Not all the time. But he says, this is Yahshua talking. I am the Yahshua, and there is none else. In other words, I'm the only begotten of the Father. And there is none else that's begotten of the Father. There's many sons of the Father, but they're not begotten of Him. I'm the only one begotten out of His loins. There is no Yahweh beside me. In other words, there is no other son with that is a deity beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rise of the sun and from the west, and that there is none else, that there is none beside me. I am the Yahshua, and there is none else. He said, I am the Yahshua. I am the Son, only begotten of the Father, and there's none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. How do Yahshua do all these things? Drop down your heavens from above and let the skies pour down righteousness. See there? Let the skies pour down righteousness. Okay, this is a command since Donald Trump was called forth in 2016. This is when this command went into operation. When he says, I'm going to run for president of the United States of, that was in about June of 2016, I believe. He said, I'm running for president of the United States of America. He says, that's when this met its fulfillment. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. Well, righteousness is springing up all over the world together. The nations are flowing together in a positive mood. They're all thinking positive. From the moment Donald Trump says, I'm running for the United States, the stock market started rising. And it had to stop since. He said, oh, Yahshua have created, woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherds strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioneth it, What makest thou? Or thy work, he hath no hand. Woe unto him that saith unto his father, What begettest thou? Or to the woman, What hast thou brought forth? Thus saith Yahshua, the Holy One of Israel, and his Maker. Okay. Ask of me of things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. I have made the earth and created man upon it. Okay. Now he says, Thus saith Yahshua, the Holy One of Israel, and his Maker. Who's his Maker? His Father, Yahweh Elohim, is the Maker of Yahshua. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 1. Let's read verse 1 through 3. Yahweh, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being in the brightness of his glory and express the image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. So, when we read here in Isaiah 45, verse 11, where it says, Thus saith the Yahshua, the Holy One of Israel, and his Maker, Yahweh, his Father, ask me of things to come concerning my sons. Now, believe it or not, this is the Father talking here. This is the Father. This word Maker translates into Yahweh Elohim, the Father. And he says, and then he immediately says, Ask me of things to come. Now, he says, concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. Now, when it says, ask ye, it says, ask me of things to come concerning my sons. Okay. Now this, where is another place that we have the word sons with an S on it? We go to John chapter 1:12, and it talks about that, sons of Yahweh. It says that, but as many as received him, those that received Yahshua, unto them gave he, Yahshua gave them power to become the sons of Yahweh, the Father, even unto them that believe on his name. Now, he says, even those that believe on his name, Jew, Gentile, stranger, eunuch, don't make any difference. If they believe on the name of Yahshua and accept him, then he gives them power to become the sons of Yahweh. They're the Father. So that's, you have to watch real closely here when you're reading these things. So going back to Jeremiah, Isaiah 45, he says, I have made the earth and created man upon it. I even my hands have stretched out the heaven, and all their host have I commanded. Now this is strange, because we always believe that Yahweh created the earth, and yes, he created the earth by the Son. So this is Yahweh the Father talking here. Because it says so right there in Isaiah 45:11. He says, Thus saith the Yahshua, the Holy One of Israel. Now this is the Son talking. And his Maker, which is the Father. And then now it says, comma, ask with a capital on ask. A-S-K starts with a capital letter. Meaning you're starting a whole new sentence. You're starting a whole new sentence. They put a comma there, but they should have put a period. And then they should have started a new sentence, because they did by putting a capital A on ask. It means that the Father is saying, ask me of things to come concerning my sons. And I just showed you John 1:12 about those sons. And concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. Now the work of Yahweh's hands is found there in Genesis 1:1 and 27. Okay, so Yahweh is the creator of all things, but he does it by his son. But he's the power. He's the power. Upholds all things by his power. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, Yahweh created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning. And then it says there, and we were just there in Hebrews 1:1. Let's go back to it again. Hebrews 1:10. And thou, Yahshua, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth. And thou, Yahshua. Well, they got upper and lowercase Lord here, and the translator referring to Yahshua, but I'm going to say once again, this is the Father. And thou, Yahweh, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hand. Even though Yahshua was there with him, and he created all things by him, and without him was not anything created that was created, but the Father is the catalyst. He's the power. He's first. Okay. So let's go to Psalms 102, verse 25, and see if it gets more confirmation on that. 102. 25. All right. Of old hast thou laid the foundation. Let's look at this. Verse 24 of Psalms 102. I said, O my Yahweh, take me not away in the midst of my days. Thy years are throughout all generations. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hand. Now this is David talking to the Father, Yahweh. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. The children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee. Okay, the children of thy servants shall continue. See? Alright. Now let's go back to Isaiah 45. Let's see if we can't pick up on a little bit more here of what we're talking about. Isaiah 45, we're going to verse 13. We're talking about Donald Trump here. This is Yahshua talking. I have raised him up in righteousness. But you know, this is Yahweh the Father. He's taking over this conversation. He took this conversation over in verse 11, Isaiah 45. And in verse 13, this is Yahweh talking. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city, and he shall let go my captives, not for price nor reward. saith Yahshua of hosts. Okay. Well, we got Yahshua of hosts, which is Yahshua. He's the king of hosts on Israel. He's inherited all things. So we have to go back, revert back to verse 13 again. Well, Yahshua says, I have raised him up in righteousness. Okay. So Yahshua takes back over the conversation here in verse 13. He said, I've raised Donald Trump up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city. Now this is the Father and the Son city. Says us over in Revelation. And he shall let go my captives, not for price nor reward, saith Yahshua of hosts. Thus saith Yahshua, the labor of Egypt, and the merchandise of Ethiopia, and of the Sabaeans, men of stature shall come over unto thee, and they shall be thine. They shall come after thee in chains. They shall come over. They shall fall down unto thee. They shall make supplication unto thee, saying, surely Yahweh is in thee, and there is none else. There is no other Yahweh. Verily thou art a Yahweh that hidest thyself, O Yahweh of Israel, the Savior. Okay. Let's back up again. Read that whole thing again. Verse 14 and 15. Thus saith the Yahshua, the labor of Egypt and merchandise of Ethiopia and of the Sabaeans, men of stature, shall come over unto thee, and they shall be thine. They shall come after thee in chains. They shall come over, and they shall fall down unto thee. They shall make supplication unto thee, saying, surely Yahshua is in thee. No, surely the Father is in thee. Now, Yahshua would have to be here in person for them to do that. Okay? And there is none else. There is no Yahweh. There is no Yahweh. Except the one that is in thee. Really, thou art a Yahweh. No, thou art a king. That hidest thyself, O King of Israel, the Savior. And Isaiah 8:17 gives us a little insight on that. It will bring us to a close. And I will wait upon the Yahshua that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Behold, I and the children whom the Yahshua hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel. From the Yahshua of hosts which dwelleth in Mount Zion. Okay, let's read that again. Behold, I and the children whom the Yahweh hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel. From the Yahshua of hosts which dwelleth in Mount Zion. So you see, we are special people. We are preordained from the foundation of the world. We are sanctified while we're still in the womb. And he preserved us. He brought us forth for a point of time. And for one reason, we are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Yahshua of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. This brings you close. Let's start this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour. Call us number 11. Click on our audio archives. Hear this message. And we're going to close now with a song. How beautiful heaven must be. We read of a place that's called heaven. It's made for the pure and the free. These truths the author he has forgiven. A beautiful heaven must be. A beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven at rest for the weary.
be a beautiful heaven must be. The waters of laughter flowing, and all who will drink the deep clean. The jewels of the splendor flowing, a beautiful heaven must be. A beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free, a haven of rest for the weary, a beautiful heaven must be. Oh, the angels so sweetly are singing, a birth of beautiful scene. Sweet chords from their gold harps are ringing, a beautiful heaven must be. A beautiful heaven must be. Behold, of the happy and free, their faith and their rest for the weary, a beautiful heaven must be.